about Ross and Patrick.
I don't care.
Yeah, like, who cares?
They obviously care about themselves, but who else do they care about?
I don't know. I'm not so sure.
Maybe we'll have a guest or two.
The world's going up in flames, so, like, who cares?
Who cares?
We care.
Gross.
Man, oh man, do we have a sexy episode for you. Hey, it's me, Patrick. Welcome to Who Cares About Ross and Patrick. Ross is not here right now because she's out making that money. She works nights sometimes in the fashion industry, and I am home alone wishing she were here because this would be a much funnier intro if she were here. She's the best. Anyway, this is a sexy episode because we talk a lot about sex and sex dynamics and sexual harassment and sexual misconduct and all these things that are all over the news right now. But here's the thing. This is an old conversation. This conversation is from October 28th. We recorded this convo after the Harvey Weinstein expose came out, but before the Louis C.K. expose came out. So we don't talk a whole lot about the very current stuff that's hitting the news right now. We don't talk about Al Franken or Charlie Rose or Kevin Spacey or Matt Lauer or any of the other creepy dudes that are making news right now. What we actually talked a lot about was this sort of very local thing in my comedy community that happened, and we talk about it in a very general way, just to talk about this stuff. Ross goes into some personal history and in ways she has been sexually harassed in the past. I talk about ways that I'm confused by all this stuff. I think it's a really good talk. I will say it took us a little while to get into it. It's a long episode. We were recording late at night. But I think there's a lot of laughs in there, but also a lot of thought-provoking stuff. So we do appreciate you guys checking out the podcast. Hope you enjoy.
First, I just want to say, I'm sorry for lashing out.
It's okay.
I'm feeling, I don't know why, particularly irritable. Probably just mostly skin stuff. I think if I had just been left alone to like watch Broad City with my mask on, I probably would have been fine.
You also hate production.
I hate production.
Let's just say it. Say it like you're in a support group. My name is Ross and I hate production.
Hi everybody. My name is Ross and I hate production.
Hi Ross. Would you like to share?
No, not right now.
All right, well, here we are, episode 2 of Who Cares?
Woo!
And yeah, we got a lot of positive reviews on the first episode from each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we both listened and we loved it.
Nobody's heard it yet, because we're recording this as we're editing the first one. So we enjoyed it. I think it was a good podcast.
We thought it was great.
We're funny.
We're funny.
We're funny. We're putting effort in. But unfortunately, here we are on a Friday night at 11 p.m.
It's Saturday,
11 p.m.
Is it 11?
Doing production in our home. Last thing my wife wants to be doing.
Because why? I hate production.
She hates production. You've been involved in lots of production for your work as a fashion stylist.
Yep.
We've done some tapings together.
Mm-hmm.
We've shot the web series.
You know it. We love it.
We shot Nailing It, a web series, a fashion web series. And yeah, you've hated it every step of the way. You're like so funny on camera. You're so good on camera. You're hilarious on this podcast. Episode 1, you got to check it out. Such a hysterical lady, but you hate it.
Yeah, I think that's my biggest issue when it comes to all this performance type business.
Yeah.
What's your diagnosis of the situation? Is it just my lack of patience and perfectionism?
I think because in production it takes so much prep and setting up, that's the zone where I use it to zone out.
Yeah.
I think you use it for the fear to boil up. I think while I'm like taking 30 minutes to just like lay out cables and turn the lights on properly.
You're in your happy place. You're just like, let me lay out these cables.
I'm like, I get to tidy this whole production. And meanwhile, you're like, I'm going to suck. Everybody's terrible. Why is he talking to me like that?
My skin looks awful. Why does anybody even want to look at this or hear this?
Yeah. You're worried about your skin for a podcast and audio only media.
Except that you have a camera pointed on me.
Yeah.
No one's going to see. I'm using air quotes, everyone.
I'm recording this podcast on a video camera because it's the only high quality audio recording device we have. And I figure if it's a video camera, why not record us? Because then when it's time for the documentary to come out after we're a major success on the podcast airwaves, we've
so
got the material.
Yeah.
I know. I have high hopes for this.
Grandiose.
I have grandiose high hopes for this podcast. We would like to tour the country.
We would. Yeah.
Should we talk about our dreams? Should we do a vision board? Is that what it's called? A vision board.
Well, this one might call it a soundboard in this medium.
Yeah, you touch a button and it's like Arnold Schwarzenegger going, "I'll be back." Did you do those soundboards?
What?
Do you remember those soundboards in college? It was like a website with different buttons and it was movie quotes.
No, you were like a production nerd in college. Yeah. I was studying abnormal psychology and women's studies.
No, you were studying different strains of weed.
Oh.
You're like, I'm going to get a doctorate in Molly.
I was like, Molly?
Ecstasy.
Hon, they didn't even call it Molly then. Let me tell you, in my day, they weren't calling it Molly. They were calling it the E. You'd roll in my day.
Back in my day, we were rolling.
That's right.
What are they doing now on the Molly? They're rolling.
I don't fucking know. I don't think they call it rolling. I don't think they call it rolling.
Getting lifted.
Oh boy.
Anyway, you hate production, but here we are. We're just dedicated to the craft of podcasting. We want to bring more podcasting to our population, to our listeners.
As we said first episode, we figured saturated market, let's go in.
Yeah.
Let's throw ourselves into the mix.
Let's put our flag on the moon also.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You ever seen Far and Away?
No.
With Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman where they fell in love?
Uh-uh.
I mean, quote unquote, fell in love even though he's a homosexual.
Big news. Breaking news on the podcast. Who Cares podcast. Breaking the news.
Breaking news. Also, in a cult called Scientology. Don't know if you heard of it.
Wow. Watch the documentary.
Wow. Yeah. Anyway, this is a long way to go, but I'm going to go with it.
Uh-huh.
Far and away, Irish immigrants come to America, run away to California, stake their piece of land.
They staked their claim. We are Tom Cruise. You're Tom Cruise. I'm Nicole Kidman.
Honey on the mask.
On the mic. That's okay. You've got a mask. These things are built to just accept any body fluid.
Everybody listen. Everybody.
When did I fart into the mic? Was that before
we fought? Yes.
Oh, because I deleted that.
We deleted the fart.
I had a really crisp fart right into the mic.
To try to break the tension, but I was not done with the tension.
Yeah. I wasn't even going to talk about the tension, by the way, but this is actually a good practice for us to just talk about what's actually going on in our life. And then this is our, like, Who Cares is about our life. And that's where we're at. Okay.
I wasn't even going to talk about the tension, and then you had to bring up the tension.
I wasn't saying it like that. I was just saying,
well, I never. Got fucking Dame Maggie Smith over here.
Call the midwife. Is that what I said the other day?
I can't remember.
You love the midwife.
Yeah, I should fucking call her right now. I probably need her.
Midwife.
Midwife.
She knocks on the door and she goes, midwife.
Oh, we have a good time.
You love the midwife. You love the Great British Baking Show.
I'm an Anglophile. Guys.
She hates production.
Hate production.
Loves England.
I love London, England. Give me some sort of British television, please. Yeah,
you actually love television. You love film.
I do
love
film.
You love live.
Cinema.
You love the cinema. You love the stage.
I do. I love everything that production produces.
Yes.
But I fucking hate production.
Yep. You hate the lead up.
I can't believe how many people are involved. It's too many.
Too many people. Too much yelling. Oh, yeah. I worked for you back in the spring. Yes. I was your assistant. And there's like all these producers running around and the PA. It was such a nice guy. He's working so hard.
The terminology, I can't.
You're just shitting on this guy the whole time because.
Can we just acknowledge?
Because he was annoying. He was.
Yeah. Like, let's not pretend that I'm just some fucking evil villain here.
No, you're not.
Like,
you're
he
not.
Was a mousy little wimp.
You hate Mousy.
Who, especially when you're in a position of needing to deliver information, yeah. Like fucking be direct, cut to the chase, and like stop wasting my fucking time.
Oh yeah, what was it? So yeah, our office was like down the hall from where they were shooting, and every time the DP would hit record and the director said action, or before he said action, it just became this like echo down the hallway of different staff members saying rolling, 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 rolling. And you and I would just look at each other rolling our eyes the whole time.
And Mousy McMuffin, a.k.a. the PA that was dealing with us, would be like, it would finally get down to him. And then he's like in the room with us going, rolling, rolling.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, he dude, doubles down.
We are a football field away from where they're rolling, rolling.
Rolling, rolling.
We're not going to be heard by any of them.
I'm probably going to end up working for him at like 10 years down the line. Yeah, that and I'm guy, like, this mother... fucker.
Yeah, he's gonna be like Spielberg level. Those are the people that get successful. They take it seriously, but we were struggling.
I was struggling. You were not struggling. Yeah. You were like, stop being so mean to him.
That was a great job. I was steaming clothes for you. You were my boss. It's very sexy.
Ooh. Yeah. Where the domination began.
Yeah.
Oh. Probably didn't begin there.
Well, who knows? Anyway,
another episode.
Future episode, everybody. Keep tuning in. You never know what we're going to talk about. So this episode, we were thinking about talking about, now that we're 10 minutes in to just like working out our interpersonal issues.
Yeah, and how much I hate production, which is not the theme of this episode.
No. So yesterday, I'm in March, it'll be 4 years. I'm in comedy. I'm
wow,
around.
Really?
Yeah, isn't
that's
that crazy?
It's crazy.
Crazy, man. Time. It just like keeps rolling, man.
Time, portals, black holes.
Yeah. And so you've been like my sounding board for a lot of different issues that come up, a lot of like personal issues for me, a lot of like I've come home very bummed out certain nights or I've gotten very high on comedy or whatever. Like you're always there to like help me process stuff. And now
I'm what? An armchair psychologist. That's right. The doctor is in.
Yeah. The doctor, Dr. Ross is in. And we're so glad to have Dr. Ross on the show today because we've got a lot to talk about.
That's right. So sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted to let everybody know the doctor was in.
Yeah. The doctor's in session. She's got her Slate sign out hanging off the front of the apartment building. Her personal cell phone number's on there.
Only a bachelor's in psychology, but I charge low, low rates.
Yeah, sliding scale.
Yeah.
Bushwick rates. she charges the white people $400 an hour, and then the locals pay $14. It's a...
Ten per session. Yeah, it's a $10 special per session.
Right.
Can you imagine?
Oh, my God. If we just had, like, a little armchair corner in this apartment.
I'd love it. Anyway, go on. So I'm a sounding board.
You're a sounding board. And yesterday I came to you with this like, so there's all these sex scandals in the comedy community. Many of times, mostly dealing with...
About 99% of the time.
99% of the time, it's men who are sexually harassing women, or there's been
a lot of claims.
A lot of rape allegations, a lot of... sexual predation. Is that a word?
I don't know, but I like it.
Sexually predatory behavior.
Sexual predation. I think it sounds too sexy for it to mean what we want it to mean.
You
want to
start like a band called Sexual Predation.
Yeah. Maybe that's an album title. Anyway, we digress. Go on.
So in the last couple of days, it's come out that there is a improv theater creative director who has been accused of... sexually harassing a few of his students. And according to his resignation letter that was on Reddit publicly, he said that he had two long-term relationships with students and is in a third current long-term relationship with a student from the school/theater, and on another additional occasion, he embraced and kissed a student in the theater space.
And that we don't know. He's claiming that was consensual, or he just...
Consensually.
Not okay.
I don't know this guy personally. He's a very well-respected, kind of beloved guy in the improv scene in New York City. I don't... For our purposes of this episode, I actually don't think his name is important.
No.
But it's out there. It's like on the internet. It's on Facebook. Every time this stuff happens on Facebook in the comedy community, it becomes this huge topic of conversation where the range of like people joking about it, like just like joking in a very like superficial way. And then there's people that write full on essays to like kind of work out their own feelings about whatever's going on.
Right.
Or there's these private conversations that I have with you. And like, I just tell you about this stuff. And yeah, so I just yesterday was just kind of like talking to you about it. And I kind of realized like I have so many personal biases as a man, and personal experiences and things where like this stuff is so confusing for me as an adult man in this scene where there's just such a range of ages and people and personalities that sometimes I just don't know what I'm feeling or like why something's confusing to me. And I don't know. I kind of liked how we just yesterday had this like kind of long conversation about it, and you shed some light on some things that I hadn't thought about in certain ways. Or you have a great way. The doctor here has a great way of just like articulating things that I think I feel, but I don't know exactly. And, you know, talking to a woman, even if you're my wife, it sheds light on things in a different way than when I'm talking to my buddies about it.
Which are more other predominantly straight men.
Yeah. And so like something that's come up in this particular case for me, I'm not even going to say a friend said it or whatever. I'll just say it. Like, I'm confused by the full on witch hunt. I guess, I don't know. That's a tricky phrase, but like this guy's probably going to lose his entire career. Because there's been such a backlash, and it's, I'm just confused and troubled by like my own feeling of like, well, he didn't rape anybody.
Right.
You know? And I know that's wrong, but,
well, it's not necessarily wrong. It's just, it's not that simple. It's not like that black and white of like, well, he didn't rape anyone. So, you know, it's like there's, which is what we were getting into yesterday. It's like there's so many, it's such a layered, complicated, historical, societal thing, you know?
Yeah. And I guess something we should just say generally real quick is there's a lot going on in society about this at the moment. You know, like the Harvey Weinstein stuff just came out in the last few weeks. Bill Cosby happened in the last couple of years. You know, the Mark Halperin from HBO Showtime.
What was that one?
He's a political correspondent, similar stuff. Trump, you know, Trump's campaign and the language.
Our president. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The old grabber by the pussy. Who doesn't love that guy?
Yeah. So
charmer.
I guess we've entered into this conversation through this specific example in the comedy scene, but I guess what I want to say to just like set up what we're talking about on this episode is that sexual dynamics amongst humans is like something that we're talking about as a society in ways that feel new to me. I'm sure it's all stuff we talked about in school or whatever in some way. But
what about it feels new?
I guess
that it's being talked about at all. Publicly?
I guess the public nature of it and the the excuse for the Trump thing was like, well, this is locker room talk. This is boys will be boys. This
right.
is how men talk. And
which it, like literally makes my skin crawl.
Yeah, and like finally there's language where people are like, well, sure, even if that's true, it's no longer acceptable.
Right.
We don't want to be that country anymore, or we don't want to be people like that. So yeah, I guess I just want to set the table in some way and just say we're going to have a loose conversation about this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, and you know, anything we're saying is just our own opinions of like personal experience and what information we're gathering from each other. So it's not like we're standing for any sort of specific thing other than our own experience and our own opinions on these things.
Yeah, and we're not.
Is that a good disclaimer?
Yeah, it's a good disclaimer. And another thing I would add is like, we're not going to get to the bottom of anything.
No.
We're not going to really rehash anything. But yeah. So.
But we're also of the type that we know that sharing experiences with people is it's been very helpful for us in our own lives when it comes to like any sort of troubling matters. Like identifying with other people has been something that's really been powerful for us. So that's like the place that I think we both come from most of the time. It's like, well, why wouldn't I share my experience to see if other people can connect with me so I don't feel so alone?
Yeah. Yeah. And just like general communication and talking things out is always leads to some kind of solution or something. Like dialoguing is always way better than in person is always way better than just like shots of social media at each other, you know?
Yeah, I know that's such a tricky thing, but I feel like I'll digress too much by like saying all my opinions about that.
Well, maybe it'll come up organically.
Maybe we'll have a who cares about social media episode.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's talk about it in this way. So, you know, this guy is a creative director in a theater. He's in a position of power.
He's in like in his late 30s, early 40s, right?
I'm guessing something like that.
Yeah. He's been around for a long time. Like he has power and a community that like backs him.
Yeah. And from what I gather, beloved, like absolutely like beloved and respected until this all came out.
Mm-hmm.
So can you explain like why us guys,
I'm so on the spot,
just don't get it? Like how come, what is so wrong about what he did?
Well, honestly, I can't really say what is so wrong or so right about whatever people are accusing him of or whatever he's owning up to. Like, I don't really know enough about the situation, right? But based on what you've told me, that he is this person that's in a position of power, he's dated students, et cetera, et cetera. Like, you can't hear me?
I can hear you. It's just not close enough.
Talk
a little bit about power differentials and power dynamics and why that's important. Like, I think I kind of get all that, but like, I mean, it used to be like in the 70s, like professors of in colleges are like banging all their students.
Oh, they probably still are. I think that, you know, what I was likening it to is like, there's just, I mean, this is such a popular word these days, is like checking your privilege, you know, and like really looking at everyone. Like, we all need to be looking at our privilege all the time, which I don't have a problem with. Like, I'm very like, I think I'm very aware of the type of privilege that I enjoy and need to think about in certain situations. But I think there's a lot of people that are very triggered by that word and get very defensive, and it makes them really angry that they have to think about it, and they think it's like liberal snowflake bullshit, right? But you know, I've always really struggled with the power dynamics of like men and women, and being a woman that's opinionated and has like a strong voice has been something I've really struggled with over the years, and especially in like work environments. And I think even as somebody that does identify as like a strong opinionated woman, like I know my struggle comes from a place of knowing I should be quieter and not take up so much space, and that being, you know, vocal and opinionated is equates to being a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And I've known that since I was very, very young. So going into like work environments where men are in control and you need to answer to them, and you're a loud, tall bitch like me, you tend to get into issues with mm-hmm. with people that are in power. And I worked in restaurants for a really long time where it can be really predatory and misogynistic. And it kind of worked in my favor to be the way that I am in some ways, because people thought I was like funny and you didn't fuck with me. But like at the same time, there was a lot of sexual harassment that like, I'm a little all over the place right now. What I'm trying to say is like, even as somebody like me who has this strong personality, like I can still be sort of silenced by sexual harassment
mm-hmm.
And not knowing how to handle that or deal with it or even know if it's sexual harassment or what to call it, because, or not even sexual harassment and misogyny, just like being silenced, being told to be small and like, not take up so much space. And then also because I have experienced the privilege of being attractive, like getting male attention in these types of places and sort of using that to my advantage as well, to I'm not using it to my advantage, but knowing that like that would help me in these situations when I'm not feeling like I do have that much power, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm like, well, I know I can be like flirty and like, I don't even know if I'm talking about what we need to be talking about. I'm
that's
like
okay.
All over the
no, you're
place.
Bringing up a lot of things. Let's take it one piece at a time.
Yeah, help me. I guess the thing, narrow it, because I'm not even saying anything that I said to you yesterday.
That's okay. We'll talk specifically about the kinds of sexual harassment you experienced as a waitress.
So I'll be specific. So what we were talking about yesterday, like I worked in a comedy club for not that long, actually, just like a couple years. And the dynamic there is like comedians are king, right?
And this is like 10 plus years ago.
Yeah, like 12 years ago. But it feels like just yesterday. So the comedians are king. And also in this place, there are very few female comics. So it is testosterone and misogyny, and men are funny, and
were they touchy-feely?
They were very touchy-feely. Some were not. Some were very respectful of your space and your time, and those, but they stood out. You know, you mm-hmm. were like, oh, they're really nice. They're not going to be weird and creepy and leer at me or grab me for no apparent reason. And
would some people grab you?
Yeah, there were definitely like a few comedians, which initially,
like you said, you used the word groping yesterday. I want to get to the word groping.
Yeah.
So, but finish.
Are you gonna be able to edit this? I feel like I'm just like blah blah blah.
No, we're just talking. It's fine.
Okay.
Listeners, keep tuning in. This is a serious topic.
It is serious, and I'm like, it's late, and I feel like I'm touching on so many things, and I'm not making as much coherent sense as I did yesterday.
We'll just try to do small bits, small thoughts. But generally, you're saying some guys wouldn't be touchy-feely. Some guys were respectful. Some guys weren't, right?
Yes, and how we were talking about it yesterday is that you were bringing up the idea of consent, and I was saying that I don't even think... I think that we think about consent more as this thing of like a sex act, whereas like there's so many different levels of it. And I think that there's just like people don't even see a need for consent when it comes to just like being touchy feely or flirtatious or whatever. Like there's just this expectation that you're supposed to accept like people staring, people like grabbing your midsection or trying to hug you, like, but not asking your permission, just thinking that that's fine because you're a woman.
Yeah. Well, and something that just popped up for me, and I realized as like a personal bias, is that when I hear the word groped, I think, oh, that means somebody grabbed her breasts or her ass.
And like it has to be a sexual part.
Yeah. And if it's not one of those things, then why are they using the word grope? But right. Of course, groping can apply to many other things. And of course, if somebody says they were groped, it doesn't really matter. They're using that word for a reason. They were touched in a way they didn't want to be touched.
Right.
And I think I am a classic guy where I'm like, oh, that's not groped. Come on. That's strong. That's a strong
that's
word.
That's strong language.
Yeah. Rape, that's a strong word. You know, like, who am I to decide what a victim or survivor or, you know, is you the language they use?
Well, and that's what we were getting to, too, is like this need to push back so hard on women sharing these experiences, right? It's like, why do you feel the need to tell me it's not that serious or not that big of a deal? You know, yeah. It's like I'm sharing how it felt and how it made me feel. And it's like, you weren't there. You don't know. Like, yeah. Just listen to me. Yeah. Like, try to empathize or at least sympathize with like where I'm coming from, as opposed to like, well, that seems like a pretty dramatic overstatement, which we could really just go off on the historical relevance of calling women hysterical and blah, blah, blah. But
well, so the other thing we're kind of in the wake of right now, this is a week or two ago, maybe last week, was the Me Too hashtag.
Right.
You posted a Me Too post and someone didn't believe you, right?
It wasn't that he didn't believe me, but he didn't. He just assumed that it was not my own.
Oh, that it was a
experience.
Cut and pasted.
Yeah, he was like moved by it, but just assumed that I shared somebody else's post and was
well,
like,
first of all, what was the post generally? You can look it up if you have.
Yeah,
to.
I mean, it's like right here, so I might as well just give you the actual.
And while you do that, I just want to, I guess another overarching thing I maybe should have said earlier is like, I don't know, like if you're a person listening to this and you're in a community or in a scene of some kind, if you're in the comedy scene or maybe you're in high school or college or whatever, like I think I just never sat and talked to people about how to behave around women. I guess I just learned from, you know, I feel like I was raised right generally.
Sure.
I've certainly made mistakes with women and I've probably crossed actual lines. But I guess like I'm hoping a listener might hear this conversation and just think a little, just have more awareness about how they're touching people in public or touching people they're not in a relationship with, or how they talk to people they're not in a relationship with. Cause I think there are ways that us men do talk to women or other people, whatever, in ways that aren't self-aware or, we don't realize might actually be crossing a line or invading in someone's space, emotional space or physical space.
Which I do think is, it's so deep and old that it's like been passed on from like generation to generation. So there is like an element that I don't even, certainly like nice, well-intentioned men, I don't necessarily, I'm not just like, what the fuck, you know? But at the same time, it's like, all of this conversation is about like, it's time to start thinking about it. You know, it's like not to hate on men or be feminazis or whatever. It's just like, this has to, like, we have to change. We have to do better. We have to get better because like this old infrastructure of just like locker room chat, like, no, it's unacceptable. Yeah. Like we're producing terrible people.
Yeah.
like this is only, it's horrible for women and it's also horrible for men. It's, as we like to say, toxic masculinity.
Yeah. Yeah. Like there's a lot of new, I just have a new awareness and consciousness of this stuff. Like I just realized recently, I have a friend who I see around who, I realized I'm a guy who, if I'm greeting a woman, I tend to go in for a hug. But when I'm greeting a guy, I just throw the handshake.
Sure.
And I realized recently with this specific friend who's a woman, she would prefer not to be touched at all. She likes a arm's length distance away wave. She doesn't even want a handshake.
I love that.
It took me a few times of screwing that up with this person that I realized, that's a boundary that they've created and I need to respect that.
Right.
And I think a lot of guys, we all need to just like take a second to read the room or read the other person's vibe to decide whether or not they've even invited a hug. And I'm not, by the way, another disclaimer I want to give is like, I'm no saint. Like I'm not trying to be like, guys, this is what we need to do. I'm an expert. I know how to, whatever.
No, because that person's a fucking nightmare too.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm trying to keep this to my own real experience here. But anyway, you've got your Me Too hashtag.
I've got my Me Too.
What's your Me Too?
So my Me Too is, I've been masturbated in front of on the subway. I've been told to smile more. I've been called a fucking bitch when I've yelled back at catcallers. I've been called a dyke when I had short hair. I've had men leer and yell and feel entitled to grab at me on the street and at work. I was almost raped at 19, but was able to get away. And I consider myself one of the lucky ones. We are not attacking all men. We just want to feel heard and know that we are valued and equal. Stand with us and help us change the narrative for all of our sakes. You're welcome.
Well, I'm sorry all that happened to you.
Thank you so much.
I'm sorry I did that to you all in one day.
Oh!
So you wrote that in your notes document, and then you screenshotted the notes document, and then you posted it as a photo to your Facebook, and one of your friends said, oh my God, I was moved by that. Where did you get it from?
Yeah. And I said, my life experience.
Yeah. So that's the thing. It's like, you know, I was blown away by the Me Too posts in a bad way. You know, it was like kind of horrible to think of like people I really care about having to go through those experiences. But it's just insane that all women like have been through some horrible event.
And it starts so young. Like, that's the thing. Like, I have very vivid memories of like being like 11 and a creepy ice cream truck guy like pulling up in front of my house and like leering at me. And I was like not a developed 11-year-old. Like I looked like a kid.
I mean, you're still growing.
Or like, you know, being sort of sexually harassed by like a kid my own age when I was like 13 and like embarrassed me in front of like a group of other guys because he was like telling me my ass was hot, you know? And then literally for most of high school, I wore things tied around my waist because I was like so self-conscious about my ass.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like those power dynamics are set up so early and then they just turn into like full-fledged nightmares out in the adult world.
Yeah, and we are never, us men are never like, because it's so,
you're not really told to question it.
Yeah, and we're like, when we are,
we're just told to deal with it.
Yeah, and when us men are just in the locker room, like in a literal locker room, there are no women. We're never like I've never heard somebody say, guys, should we be talking like this? Or like, should we, you know? And it's just like, it's just such a cultural tradition.
But I do want to say at the same time, it's like, listen, I talk fucking filthy about you and whoever and like past experiences. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with sex talk and like recounting stories with good friends and like having a laugh about it, you know? But the deeper issue is like the undeniable objectification of women and the power dynamics that are at play in places that are inappropriate, you know? And just accepting it as like, boys will be boys. It's like, no, like it just doesn't work. It's like sex positivity and treating everyone with respect can live like in the same place as like equality and power dynamics being equal.
Yeah. It's actually really interesting. You know, learning more about sex roles and sexuality in general, and like
we're on a journey.
We're on a journey. We're reading some really interesting books right now, and like this idea that like anything that turns you on can be done and found in a consensual way.
Exactly.
And like it's like when these guys are driving delivery trucks and screaming at women on the street about how sexy they are or whatever, it's like, dude, why don't you like be a gentleman and then find you can find that lady,
yes,
in real life, and then maybe she likes to be talked to like a dirty girl on the street, sure, or whatever you're saying to her. Just do it consensually, and it'll be actually better because you'll get to have sex with her.
Exactly.
Afterward. You know?
Exactly.
So, like, if you... Yeah, like, I think guys...
Have a whole role play. It'll be super fun.
I think us guys get a little bit... we're so repressed, and then we act out with this, like, these horrible things we say to girls because we feel like we'll never get the chance to say them in real life or something. Or we see it done in movies or porno or whatever, and we like have this out loud fantasy at the expense of them, and it's like, dude, why not just create that environment in a real relationship? You can do that.
We're doing it.
It can be done. Let me ask you about this. So,
but should we get back to the...
Yeah, so that's a bit of a sidebar. You know what? Who cares that we're a little bit all over the place?
That's true.
We're just talking ideas here.
That's true. Who cares?
Who cares? Something I'm curious about, you know, you brought up the word feminazi earlier. Like, you know, there's this hashtag, kill all men. And then there's that phrase that we like.
I didn't know that. People are posting that around?
Yeah, there's some people that, like, their whole attitude is like, all men are evil. Or all white men are evil. Or all cis white men are evil.
Sure, sure, sure.
Which we don't have a great track record right now.
No, I mean, a lot of you are fucking awful.
It ain't going great. I mean,
and to tell you the truth, that you can admit that is why I love you and I married you.
To tell you the truth, these guys are giving guys like me a bad name.
That's right.
Because they all look like me.
That's right. They are giving you a bad name.
And Jesus Christ, if I were to get all the power that I hope to one day have, power and success, you know, I'll probably ruin it. they've really laid the groundwork for how it's done.
Yeah.
But yeah, like just this, now it becomes this, the reaction echo chamber of like guys behaving badly, insane backlash. And then other guys like me who are on the fringe are like, yeah, I know I'm capable of like maybe I've made mistakes in my past, or I'm capable of making similar mistakes, hopefully not as intense.
Mm-hmm.
But guys like us are then like, well, wait a second. It isn't all men. All of us aren't doing this.
Right.
Almost like the all lives matter
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Then people get pissed at that and start correcting us on that. And, you know, I don't want to sit here and be like, well, what about us white guys? Now we're being discriminated against.
No, don't do that.
But
they had a rally, you know, for that.
there is a confusion that takes over, and it makes us defensive.
Yes.
So, like, I see the kill all men thing, and I'm just like, I don't see how that's helpful.
I mean, I don't think it is, but I also think that it has to be thought of in the context of, like, there's going to be extremists in every group, you know? There's going to be fucking crazy in every group, and they probably have their reasons for why they feel that way. I am not of the mind that is particularly helpful for the feminist cause, but then it's like, it just keeps going back and forth, right? Where it's like, kill all men. Okay, well, all feminists want to kill all men. You know, just like flip-flopping back and forth of just like, everyone's generalizing and like getting nowhere quickly, you know?
Yeah.
But I think it just has to be thought of as like extremists, like in anything, you know, like they exist in every facet. Right.
I mean, one phrase that we did get kind of, I think it's just such a badass phrase is, you know, there's like with the Harvey Weinstein thing, people are like, oh, it's a witch hunt. It's a witch hunt. And somebody, I don't know who tweeted it. Somebody wrote, yes, this is a witch hunt. We are witches and we are hunting you.
It's so good. It's so badass. I fucking love that so much.
It's so badass. And it's so, it is just like, yeah, like if this generation
but
of women...
But that's not kill all men. You know what I mean? Like, no, like just, there's like levity to it because it is like so witty, right?
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know?
And it's this generation of women saying like, we are going to hold you accountable.
Yes, you can't, exactly. We're not going to literally hunt you, but we will hold you accountable and yeah. tell you this fucked up.
Yeah,
like we're not dealing with it.
You can't behave however you want. You can't take advantage of us. You can't use your power to exploit us or...
Exactly.
Whatever.
Well, and I, you know, I had an interesting run in on the street not long ago where two guys were like leering and being creeps and some, you know, usually my MO is just sort of like, fuck off, you know, and that doesn't work particularly
well. You usually just
well.
Keep your cool and keep it moving.
I'm like, I'm a cool dude. Nothing gets me down.
You're like, good morning, fellas. Have a good day.
Fuck off.
What are you guys looking at? The sunshine? I know. Hell of a day, right?
And then you give them finger pistols.
Yes, I do the finger pistols. Yeah, I love it. But I've been trying to take the approach of like I said to these guys, I was just like, enough, you know? Yeah. And they were like, oh, what? And I was like, whatever you think you're doing, it's not working. Like, yeah. it's just not working. Like, nobody likes what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that... caught them off guard. And I mean, they also didn't feel like physically threatening to me. They were smaller than me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the approach I'm trying to take now of just like not go into like a parade of curses because it really doesn't work.
Yeah.
It might make you feel better, but it doesn't even really because usually I just have regret afterwards. But that did feel good. Like whether or not it was a true teachable moment, I feel like at least I was just like, telling them literally,
yeah.
this does not work.
Yeah.
Whatever you think you're doing, it is not accomplishing it. Yeah. I am not accepting it. Keep your eyes in front of you, you
yeah.
know? And that, it felt better, whether or not it actually did anything for them. I mean, mm-hmm. it probably didn't, I'm sure, but.
Yeah. I pulled up this BuzzFeed list. There's this checklist on BuzzFeed that says, if you've done any of these things, it counts as harassment.
Oh.
And I actually feel like this should be given out in middle school. Like,
mm-hmm.
It like
needs in, to start so young.
In sex ed, like, I remember learning the nuts and bolts of sex ed.
Ooh, nuts and bolts.
But, like, nobody teaches you how to date or how to ask a girl out or
no.
whatever. You know, like, it's never, not that I recall.
No,
you know?
No. If anything, it's like, very dated information from like the fucking 50s.
Yeah. Yeah. So this
where shit was great. I mean, let's be honest, you know, the greatest generation,
yeah,
right?
The 50s, they had the best aprons. The pot holders, honey, you would look so good in them.
That's true. I just need to learn to cook now.
Like I come home from work and there's a roast ready.
Yeah. There's always a roast ready,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
like there's an apron and there's a roast.
I can sit down in my armchair with a cigarette and a glass of whiskey.
I was going to say, and it's like the roast is like covered in cigarette ash because I'm like chain smoking
yeah.
the whole time I'm
yeah.
cooking.
And you fuck the mailman to feel alive.
Oh yeah. Mother's little huppa.
If you've done any of these things, it counts as harassment. Looked at her in a way that made her visibly uncomfortable.
Mm.
Looked at her breasts while talking to her. Stolen a kiss. Followed a woman you're interested in, even if you don't know her. By the way, some men might listen to this and say, hey, why is this all about sexual harassment in the direction of men toward women? What would you say to that?
I would say that... Of course, there are situations in which women harass men, women have raped men. There's also plenty of homosexual relationships, lesbian relationships, that gender queer relationships that will involve harassment of some kind. I think that we have to like start simple. And talk about the most obvious, like the biggest elephant
yeah.
in the room,
yeah.
Which is...
Like this is the most common.
I think it's just the most... Listen, I don't have the fucking numbers, okay? And I'm sure somebody could come
Let's
for me.
Let's see the stats, hon.
Yeah, I'm sure
Where's
somebody could
stats?
Come for me if,
Back
they,
it up.
If they wanted to. But it's like we have to start somewhere. And if this is like... the biggest conversation with the most evidence, then like, let's just fucking start there
yeah.
and we will get to the other stuff. But it's like, Yeah, it's like, of course it all exists, you know, and that fucking sucks. But like, let's just start here.
Yeah. I'm just
I'm not yelling at you. Yeah, yeah. I'm just like, I'm sorry. I get so exasperated by that.
Yeah.
Which I know is like inevitable, you know, yeah. People like being like, well, blah, blah. It's like, God, you just love to be argumentative, don't you?
Yeah. By the way, I'm guilty of like most of these already. I've definitely looked at breasts while talking to women. I've definitely stolen a kiss.
Which so have I mean, I've definitely looked at breasts while talking to women.
I've probably followed a woman that I didn't know.
What are you, fucking creep?
Like maybe at a bar or something, like kind of like monitoring where they went.
Okay.
You know, taking photos from a telephoto lens.
Upskirt
yeah,
photos.
Just some upskirts. Spied on an ex in any capacity, including cyber stalking. Spied on a girlfriend in any capacity, including cyber stalking. Mm. Made a comment about her body when she didn't ask you to. I do that.
You're very
all
guilty
the time.
Of that. You're very guilty.
Like, I love your bangs.
You're constantly commenting on people's hairs.
All their hairs.
Individual hairs. You're like, that one's good. This one's nice.
You've got one stray, but it actually adds to your whole look.
You do love. You're like, did you do something with your hair? I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ.
You got
Christ,
your haircut, didn't you? I turned to a friend, a gal named Stuart at an open mic the other night. She's so cool. I almost said cute, but I'm realizing in this conversation I shouldn't be saying. Sure. But I turned to her and I said, I love your haircut. But why did I do that?
You really, it's kind of your go-to. I don't know if you realize it, but you are always commenting on people's hair.
I think I like haircuts.
Well, I mean, you also have like a hard on for your own hair. So I think it is coming from a place of just like identification.
It's like, isn't hair great? Your hair's great today. Hair's the best.
You're like, I'm not commenting on your hair because you're a woman. I just love hair.
Other than that, I don't think I've ever commented on a woman's body.
No. And I think, I mean, it is. I mean, that's a whole other bag of apples. Is that the saying?
Yeah, it's a whole other bag of apples. Can of worms.
Bag of apples.
You're thinking of the worms inside the apples inside cans.
Okay.
Anyway, next episode, tune in. We're going to talk about old sayings from the 1920s. touched a woman you know without her consent. Yeah, I'm a hugger. I'm an attack hugger sometimes.
Oh, God.
I'm getting better about that. I'm not as bad as some people. I've observed lots of guys totally get too close to women they don't know well enough.
Well, you know what's also interesting? I mean, I will go for a handshake, like, if I don't fucking know you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And people, like, I've definitely had men be very thrown off by that. Where I'm just like, what is the big deal? Just shake my fucking hand, dude.
Took photos of her without her knowledge or consent. Mm. Shared intimate pictures that she sent you without her consent. So like if you send me a topless photo and I show my buddies or something, that's harassment, sure. I bet that happens a lot.
Like, sure.
Threatened to share intimate pictures that she sent you. So like now I'm like, holding them over your head.
Right, right, right.
That sounds kind of sexy, actually.
Well, we can work on something like that later.
We'll do a role play.
Yeah.
Insisted on asking her out, even though she already said no. This is one that I think is so good. I heard this in several different forms in the wake of the Me Too stuff.
And I was kind of telling you about that story yesterday.
Yeah, like, yeah, tell that story. So, well, real quick, I guess something I want to spell out to people who might need to hear it. If you ask a girl out and she says no, end of story.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Move
on
to the next one.
Yeah.
There's so many other girls to ask out.
Yeah, we're like a dime a dozen. It's like Jesus.
Yeah. I mean,
get on the apps for fuck's sake.
Get on the apps. Like go on some like trips with a meetup group upstate to hike
group.
Or something.
You love a meetup group.
Anyway, yeah. So did that happen to you before?
Yeah. So whatever, back to this comedy club, right? So just quickly, we started on this tear, right? Because we're talking about this one guy who has resigned and his power dynamics and sounds like it's a witch hunt and did he really do anything wrong? And what was triggered for me in the retelling of that story is like, he was a person in power that maybe was unaware of how having that power, there's a certain, there should be, I think, a certain amount of responsibility to like respect the boundaries of having that power and not take advantage of people that are working for you, that are studying under you, that are young and impressionable. Granted, were they all of legal consenting age? Sure, of course.
Yeah, and here's something people are saying about that is that consent is impossible when the dynamic is such.
Sure.
Which I feel like that's so tricky because in the moment, the girl is saying, yes, I also want to bone you. Let's do it. I know this is deeper than teacher student and I know I love you. So yes, I consent to this.
This is
some people are saying that person actually cannot, it's impossible for them to actually make that level of consent.
I think that's kind of tricky, honestly, because I hear what they're saying and I would probably agree with them to a certain extent, but to also say it's impossible, I don't know. It's like, then it's like,
yeah, maybe
you're
it's
getting
just
into like age, like who has agency. And it's like, maybe that person to take that away from whoever the younger person is or whoever the less powerful person in that dynamic is. Like, I don't know if that's like anybody else's.
Yeah. It's actually disempowering them.
I mean, we get real meta, right?
Well, but I guess what is fair to say is that consent becomes way more complicated when there is a power differential.
Yes. And I think that it is so, which is why I keep coming back to all of this, is like it's so deep and messy and learned and old for all of us that it's like, that's why these conversations have to happen, because it's about unlearning, or man, not even unlearning, I guess, but just evolving. And then like, hopefully setting the tone for the next generation that like, this is inappropriate. Like these sorts of power dynamics are old and dated and they don't work for men or women.
Yeah.
And it's hurting us. It's hurting that guy.
Yeah.
He's fucked now.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, he's like a victim of his own stuff, right?
Yeah,
it's like,
of his own toxic masculinity, probably.
As like one of my favorite comedians, Billy Eichner, says, do you think masculinity is a prison? For a dollar, do you think masculinity is a prison? And I think that it is in that way, right?
Yeah.
It's like, if you don't have, if you are unable to give yourself the space to question those things and look at those things, like, you're in the trappings that we're all in, right? It's like, you're as fucked as I am and you don't even realize it.
Do you think it might be a wise rule of thumb, like in a scene like comedy where there is no HR department?
Sure.
Do you think it's
I've never worked at a place with a fucking HR department.
Yeah. Like, do you think it might be a good rule of thumb, like if you're in a scene or community like this, just don't screw around with people who you are in the hierarchy. Everybody knows there's a hierarchy of some kind. If you're like, don't screw around if you're in a position of like,
but this is the thing. I think that as sexual beings, it's just hard to like expect people to like withstand that to a certain extent. But that is also why I think these types of conversations are so important. I think it's easier to tell, I think it's easier to say, not that it's even easy, but I think it's easier to say, let's talk about these dynamics as opposed to telling people,
just don't act.
Just
on
don't
them.
Do that.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
just like,
and
be
by the
different
way,
or whatever.
By
you know?
The way, I'm saying that as a person who in my 20s, I dated several coworkers where there were mixed levels of power at play.
Of course.
And I'm not proud of that. I'm also like, those were meaningful relationships in certain ways.
Sure,
so,
of course.
Yeah, it's challenging. But you should finish that story about the guy, he asked you out.
So, this one comic who was sort of like trolling me, for lack of a better word. And, you know, I was young. I was like new to New York. First of all, I had never even like really been on like proper dates, you know? And it's like, I have like older, mildly successful comedians like hitting on me that seem like grown ass men. It was hot, right?
It was exciting
and it was hot, right? So there is that part of me that was like attracted to it. But then at the same time, they had way more power in the situation than I did. So I didn't even, you know, there was no place for me to like question that. Right. And, you know, I always just like brushed it off. He had a girlfriend who was very visible there, would come in all the time, who was also much younger than him. And he's hitting on me. Eventually, I'm single at some point. And I was just like, okay, fine. Like, now's the time, right?
Yeah.
It felt like my decision. I think it was my decision. But at the same time, I was, you know, it was just constant.
Yeah.
Really, you know, and he was a very masculine, older person who, and the thing is, I will say, I did date and sleep with a different comedian that was much older than me, but it did not feel like that at all.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like I was completely consenting. We went on dates. It felt respectable.
Caring.
Like, yeah, it wasn't, I mean, nothing like came of it, but it wasn't this sort of like creepy, leering, trolling that was like cheating.
You weren't being like hunted.
Exactly. Yeah. And so there was like a lot of that stuff at play, and just like, you know, you just always felt eyes on you, and like the people that didn't have eyes on you, you noticed because they were just being respectful and like treating you like a fucking human being, as opposed to like the hot new sex object that happens to work at the comedy club, you know? Yeah. And it's not to say that I didn't enjoy aspects of that, but I also was like 22 and knew that I had really no power in the situation, conscious or unconscious, you know? And a lot of times it's just easier to give into the flirtation, because to fight it would be a whole fucking thing, right?
Yeah.
You know?
And also, you, when you were describing this to me yesterday, you kind of said like, and if you don't like kind of play along with, even if it's the casual groping,
yes,
or eventually giving into this guy who's so persistent over months and months time, then you end up being the bitch waitress.
Yes. Which I was anyway. So
yeah. But that,
but like the owners really didn't like me, you know, because I mean, for a number of reasons, some valid, but, I was always, I mean, this is my ongoing struggle with waiting tables, is like just being treated less than. I was so intolerant of it, and it made me so angry. Like, I just was visibly angry mm-hmm. about being mistreated or made to feel less than or made to feel like a sex object or whatever. You know, I just didn't, I'm fine with being a sex object if I've
chosen to be, yeah.
You know,
sure.
And at 22, I didn't have a fucking choice, you know, like it was all just such a mystery and confusing. And,
yeah.
Older guys know that.
Yeah.
You know, they do, whether they realize it or not.
Well, that's what I wanted to say, is like, now I'm an older guy. I don't have the level of success that those guys had when sure. you were at that age. You know, I started late, but like, I'm in comedy rooms every night, and there are, I've talked openly to you about this, like there are young, beautiful women who are talented
totally.
That I'm attracted to as artists and just humans, like they're.
And there were young girls at this club every night trying to get laid, you yeah. know, like it was easy for all of these dudes. Like, yeah.
But I'm just having a heightened consciousness of like the kind of self-imposed boundaries of like, I just don't, you know, sure, I want to hang out until 2 a.m. and talk comedy with like beautiful young people, but like I also know that it's not really appropriate for me, you know, like
right.
I'm married, I love you,
thank you so much,
you are my wife, but there's just like I think obviously if guys want to like, if single guys want to hang around single girls and kind of wait for things to organically happen, then yeah, do it. Have fun. Like yeah. live your 20s. Like your 20s should be, there should be lots of people hooking up and having fun, but just be safe out there, fellas. That's all I'm saying.
Another story that keeps popping into my head that is not necessarily about sexual harassment, but just about the different expectations for men and women in the exact same situation. And at the same job, like there was this other waiter who was literally drunk all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He was a terrible waiter. He would pass out in booths and everyone laughed about it. They just thought it was funny. They were like, oh, him. You know him.
Yeah.
Just bad at his job, drunk all the time. Yeah, oh, him.
Yeah.
You know? And I just always thought that was so crazy. Like, that there was no repercussions.
Yeah.
It was just like, it was like boys will be boys bullshit, right?
And what is that? That's sexism, right? I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was being conducted by other women too, you know, where like there was female management and owners that were just like, oh, you know, but it's like, God forbid Ross steps out of line for a fucking second. It's like, she has an attitude problem.
Yeah.
She's bad at her job. She doesn't show up the way she's supposed to, you know? And it's like, meanwhile, old drunk face over here is like literally passed out in a booth. Like, and that sort of stuff is like constantly at play too, which also plays into the like sense of, well, I have no fucking power here.
Yeah.
You know, like anything I do is going to be judged in a negative or mostly a negative, you know? And it's just those sorts of dynamics just fuck with you in a way that you're not even aware of 100% of the time. And, but like now, like 10 years later, I'm just like, that's so fucked.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it happened, I mean, it's happened to me in my current job too. You know, it's like, there was a time where I was on a shoot and a male model just like, as soon as he came in, just like grabbed me around my waist and like,
what's his fucking name?
And gave me like a very like intimate type of hug. Not like a get to like, oh, we're just meeting hug.
Like an embrace.
Like he like, you know, touching.
Who is he?
Touching somebody around their waist is like, it's titillating, right?
Yeah.
You know? So it was like.
You were titillated?
Hun, let's not go off the rails here.
Right, sorry.
But I pushed him away.
Yeah.
And I was like, do you always grab people that you don't know? And like, that was my reaction because that's like how your bitch on wheels is, right?
Yeah.
And he was so caught off guard by that, that I would like, cause obviously he's like,
well, who
a
says
good
no
looking
to a model. Yeah.
Exactly. He's a good looking model. Right. And I was just like, dude, like you don't know me. Like, please don't touch me. Like that's just like not appropriate. And he was just so thrown off by that, you know? And maybe like, you know, at some of those restaurant jobs, similar situations would have had happened, but I didn't say that, you know?
Yeah.
And I would let stuff like that go on and on and on and on because it just made my life easier.
Yeah.
You know? So.
I just think,
anyways,
don't touch anybody. Get fucked. Get fucked, but don't touch anybody. No touching.
No, I meant like get fucked. Like.
He can go fuck himself?
Yeah, like get fucked. I'm going to start saying that instead of fuck off. Get fucked.
In this country, people will be confused by it. That's a very British thing, right?
It is British. Yeah. Well, as we know.
She's an Anglophile.
I'm an Anglophile.
Well, no, it, actually, but the joke I'm making there, though, is like, yeah, be respectful. Like, we all want to have sex. We all want to get laid, and everybody is entitled to it. Just be a gentleman on the way there, you know, like don't just don't rape anybody.
Well, you know,
don't sexually assault them. Don't harass them until they sleep with you.
But it's
like
you're getting into piles of shit right now. I think being a gentleman is like complicated too. I think it's just like be respectful of humans.
Of human boundaries.
Don't invade space that is not yours.
Yeah.
Like
physical space or emotional space.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, like all the space and emotion that you hold so dear or take up, assume that the other person of whom whatever gender like is having the same experience, you know? And so like respect that.
Yeah.
It's like the old adage of like treat, you know, people the way you want to be treated.
Yeah.
And that includes women.
Yeah. Women are people.
Women are people. Guys, this just in. Women are people.
Women are 3/5 of a man.
Oh, my God.
Here's the rest of this checklist. Tried to hook up even though she may have been too intoxicated to consent.
That's rape.
Consent stuff is really interesting because, like, somebody posted, like, by the way, guys, like, talking a woman into having sex with you is not consent.
Mm.
And that kind of kicked up some shit for me because I'm like thinking of all the times
yeah.
in college or whenever when it was like, it wasn't just we're tearing each other's clothes off. It was more of a...
Come on.
Like, you know, there's that line from Wedding Crashers, just a tip, you know, let's just have a game of just a tip, which is rape culture, right?
Yeah, completely.
Like that is...
I didn't even remember that.
Like stuff like that. I'm like totally guilty of that. And I think, but it's like, am I a sexual predator? Like,
no, but you are a product of society, you know? So that, I mean, that's where it's like, you have to, like, you're doing that work now by thinking about it and talking about it and hopefully passing on that information to like younger men.
Yeah.
That you're like, hey, you know, I did some fucked up shit like that when I was in college. And like, I now realize it was like not cool.
Yeah. And I guess that's what we're doing here on Who Cares? Episode 2.
Who cares?
Yeah. So tried to hook up even if she was too intoxicated to consent, manipulated her into sleeping with you, asked about her sex life unprompted. That I always find that weird when somebody asks me about, like, another guy asked me about my sex life unprompted. It's like, if we're not talking about sex, don't bring it up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I might be guilty of that, though. I guess on stage all the time you're asking people, so you getting laid? I don't know. Whatever.
when you're doing your Andrew Dice Clay set.
Who's getting fucked? Get fucked.
Get fucked.
Threatened a girlfriend so that she won't end the relationship. Forbade her from going to certain places, forbade her for wearing certain kinds of clothes, forbade her from talking to specific people.
I mean, that's emotional abuse.
Yeah, all that stuff. It makes me think of like Maury episodes of like certain couples, like just like the guy telling what the lady can do and can't do. Told someone she was harassed because of the way she dresses. Classic.
Mm.
Offered her a job just because she's hot. Tried to hook up with her and only stopped when you found out that she had a boyfriend. I don't get that one.
Yeah, me neither.
Allowing the boyfriend to be the one with the power.
Yes.
Failed to get explicit consent before sexual contact. Made sexual remarks about a woman with your friends. Told women who say they're harassed every day that they're exaggerating. Felt betrayed when a woman you go out with doesn't end up sleeping with you. But I paid for this meal.
Right, that whole thing.
Yeah. Tried to hook up with one of your students. I think we've covered that. Tried to hook up with one of your employees. Tried to use your position of power to hook up with someone. Apologized to a man for flirting with his girlfriend.
Oh, God damn it.
Again, giving the power to the owner of the girl.
You know that drives me fucking nuts, right? Yeah.
Well, can't you do both? Let's say I hit on you. You have a boyfriend. And you say, I have a boyfriend. I can say, oh, I'm sorry. And then the guy is there and I'm like, oh, sorry for hitting on your girlfriend. Can I do both?
I mean, sure. You want to people please the whole situation? Go right a fucking head. Get fucked.
Here's one I did 100 times in college. Encouraged 2 women to kiss.
Did you?
You know, you're at a party. Everybody's wasted. Like, hey, why don't you two kiss?
But you did it 100 times. Like, you were like that guy that was just like, come on, why don't you guys kiss?
I don't know. Probably more than once.
Why don't you guys kiss?
I did that somewhere between 1 time and 1,000 times. inappropriately touched someone you're dancing with without her explicit consent. Believed that a woman is a slut based on the number of sexual partners she's had.
Oh.
Sent her a picture of your genitals when she did not ask for it.
Oh, God. All the dick pics. My God.
Dick pic. Dick, 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 dick.
There's a dick. There's a dick. There's another dick, dick.
Here's my slideshow of dicks.
Keep it in your...
Blamed alcohol for your behavior around women. Didn't I just do that a couple times?
I think between 1 and 1,000.
No, when I said like back in... Oh. You got me. You got me. Anytime I say back in college, I mean back when I was a fucking obnoxious drunk.
Which was like several years after college. Yeah. As well.
9 years of my life. So 4 years of college plus 5 years. Kept your mouth shut about a friend who has abused someone. Sent her a link to a porn video without her asking for it. Interesting. On the bottom it says, this post was translated from Spanish.
Really? Oh, excuse me, listeners. Hun, it's 11:30. I'm exhausted.
Are you tired? I mean, we've gone over an hour. I might do some light editing on this one, but we know this was a serious episode. Not a bucket of laughs, but like, I don't know. I think it's just important to, I'm just processing this stuff.
But this is Who Cares, though. Like, Sometimes we're going to laugh. Sometimes we're going to cry. Sometimes we're going to get serious. We're talking about today's issues.
We're talking taboos.
We're talking, what else are we talking? We're going to talk politics probably at some point too. Not well, but we're going to do it because we care about it.
We're talking about life and love and happiness.
That's right. Don't forget the liberty.
The what?
Liberty? Yeah, love, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You said all of them except liberty.
I was picturing one of those kitchen art frames that just says...
From like the country store?
Live, laugh, love.
Yeah, like maybe you went to...
like the Cracker
that?
Barrel.
Yeah, I was like, what's that fucking restaurant I hate?
What's that fucking restaurant? It's the Cracker Barrel.
The Cracker Barrel. Yeah, maybe you head down to Cracker Barrel or the old country store.
I love a Cracker Barrel, hon. I love a pancake.
But that's
like
the thing.
I like them little syrups they got.
I learned the hard way that you got to stick to breakfast.
You get that thick cut bacon well done. You get a stack of pancakes. You get that little syrup in a little tiny bottle. Sometimes they warm it up for you.
Oh my God.
And when they come with the
syrup. By syrup, you mean... like colored brown corn syrup.
Yeah.
But Bay Uno would think that it's real maple syrup.
No, I think Cracker Barrel is real maple syrup.
No, it fucking isn't.
I love when they come to your table and you're like, do you have more syrup? And then they just reach into the front of that apron and they just got like a secret stash.
You know what's great about
Cracker Barrel? You're my drug dealer.
You know what's great about Cracker Barrel is how green they are. Like, it's all about just, like, efficiency and no waste.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Green technology. I mean, they've got a parking lot for 400 cars. You go inside. They're just filled to the brim full of products that nobody should be brining.
Made by they shouldn't be brining?
They should be brining them.
Or brining it.
They should not brine a, you know, like a weaved Connect 4 board. Like a throw blanket.
That was made by, like, tiny little Asian
Chinese
hands.
Yeah. I brine this.
Oh my God. We have to stop before it goes real AWOL racist.
Off the wall. Yeah, we have this like super sex positive, sex educational episode. And then it just turns oddly racist at the end. So yeah, don't sexually harass women. And
yeah, just like don't, okay?
And don't fuck black people.
What?
Jesus I'm making Christ. A joke.
I know.
I love sex with black people.
He's not kidding, but it's also kind of racist to say.
Yeah, I guess you can't really itemize groups of people.
Definitely don't itemize them, please.
Fetishize.
Yes, don't fetishize or itemize. You're like, chick, chick, chick.
Yeah. Some people do keep those lists.
Keeping a list, checking it twice. You're going to find out who's naughty or nice.
She hates production, but once we're rolling and she's on the mic, it's Christmas Carol time.
And you know what else I hate? Fucking Christmas carols.
Oh, don't even get her started.
Don't even bring in the brick wall. Don't even get me started. I'm in a bolo tie right now.
She's an 80s stand-up comic. She's got the mic stand, a spotlight. She's got a
I do have a spotlight
on the stool.
That's right. I'm like elbow on the fucking mic stand. I'm like, y'all ever go to a Cracker Barrel and see a fucking order a plate of dumplings and realize you should have ordered breakfast? Anyways, that's it for tonight's show.
Thanks for listening. Have a good one.
Maybe that's the ending. It's me being like, bang, bang, ding, ding.